Imagine you have the most advanced, highly targeted biological weapon in the entire world,
Right.
but your radar is completely turned off. Like
Yeah.
the weapon is primed, the target is totally in range, but because you were looking at the wrong screen, you never fire the shot.
Which is a terrifying reality to be in.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we are exploring in your deep dive today. We are looking at a highly specific medical breakthrough that just occurred.
May 8th, 2026.
Exactly, May 8th. We're looking at a hot off the press article from cholangiocarcinoma, Australia, and the FDA just approved a new targeted therapy called Bizengri, or the scientific name is zenocutuzumab.
Zenocutuzumab, yeah. It's a mouthful.
Definitely. Okay, let's unpack this because this deep dive isn't just about a new drug hitting the market.
No, not at all.
It's actually a detective story. We're talking about a super rare biological mutation, a highly targeted smart weapon to fight it, and the terrifying reality that the biggest hurdle isn't even the cancer itself.
Right. It's the fact that standard medical tests are just, they're completely missing the target.
Yeah. But before we get into the weeds of the biology, I want to challenge the premise of this a bit. Because based on the data, this treatment is only for an incredibly small, like super rare subgroup of patients with cholangiocarcinoma.
Yes, a very specific genomic profile.
Right. So if the application is that narrow, why is this specific FDA approval making such massive waves in the patient community today? Why should everyone care?
Well, for this specific subgroup, having an option where there previously was none, I mean, that changes the entire landscape of their survival.
Really, just going from zero options to one.
Absolutely, because historically, cholangiocarcinoma is notoriously difficult to treat. And for patients whose tumors carry this specific mutation in NRG1 fusion, they were fighting an enemy that standard treatments like chemo just couldn't touch.
Wow.
So providing a targeted option proves a larger biological concept. If we can identify the exact mechanical failure happening at the microscopic level, we can engineer a bespoke solution.
To basically go in and physically jam that broken mechanism.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at that. Because to understand why this new drug matters, we first must understand the microscopic mechanical failure happening inside the tumor cells.
Right, how normal growth signals go completely rogue.
Yeah. So let's talk about the normal function of the NRG1 gene. It basically holds instructions to make a messenger protein that acts like a key, right?
Nice. Yes, and its job is to float up to the surface of the cell and briefly bind to a receptor called HER3.
Okay, so NRG1 is the key, HER3 is the lock.
Right, and when that key goes into the HER3 receptor, it triggers HER3 to partner up with another nearby receptor, HER2.
They sort of link arms.
Yes. They lock together, creating a signaling conduit. The message goes inside the cell, telling it to grow. Then, and this is the crucial part, the signal switches off and the NRG1 messenger disengages.
So it's normal, controlled growth. It turns on, it does its thing, it turns off.
Precisely.
But here is the mutation. In some cholangiocarcinomas, the NRG1 gene gets damaged and it actually fuses with a completely different gene.
Yes, that structural rearrangement is catastrophic.
Right, because it creates this hybrid instruction, which produces an abnormal fusion protein.
And that abnormal protein never switches off.
Never.
Never. It remains permanently anchored, repeatedly reactivating that HER3 and HER2 pathway. It's constantly screaming at the tumor cell to just grow, survive, keep dividing.
Okay, so let me put this into an analogy to make sure we're visualizing this right.
Yeah.
Imagine the normal NRG1 gene is a delivery driver ringing your doorbell.
Okay, I like that.
They ring it once, right, to deliver a package. You get the message, they leave, the house goes quiet.
The normal process.
Exactly. But this mutated NRG1 fusion, it's like a jammed doorbell.
Yeah.
The driver tapes the button down and refuses to leave.
And the bell is just blaring
Yeah,
nonstop.
it's continuously ringing, driving all people inside the house, the cells, into this hyperactive frenzy of growth.
What's fascinating here is that your analogy is spot on. The cancer's superpower in this case is actually just a broken off switch.
It's not some magic shield.
No, it's a mechanical failure. And knowing that reveals exactly where medicine needs to strike.
Which brings us perfectly to the drug itself. Because since the root of the problem is a stuck switch caused by the HA22 and HER3 receptors pairing up, the logical solution is to just physically pry them apart.
Right, you wedge them apart. And that is exactly what Bizengri or zenocutuzumab does.
So what is it exactly?
It's a laboratory-made bispecific antibody protein molecule, and it's given via IV infusion.
Pi-specific meaning it does two things.
Exactly. It literally has two sides. One side is engineered to grab HER2, and the other side grabs HER3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So by physically attaching to both, it blocks these receptors from pairing up. It disrupts that signaling conduit.
So it basically cuts off that continuous growth instruction we were talking about. The taped-down doorbell gets untaped.
Exactly. The continuous growth instruction is completely cut off.
That's so cool. But looking at the FDA approval constraints, they're being pretty specific. It's approved for adults with advanced, unresectable, or metastatic cholangiocarcinoma.
Right, meaning it can't be surgically removed and it has spread.
And they must have already had prior systemic treatment. So you can't just get this right out of the gate.
Oh no, that's standard for novel therapies. You establish safety in patients who have exhausted conventional options first.
Right. And let's look at the ENRG clinical trial results. The data showed that about one-third of patients saw meaningful tumor shrinkage.
Yes.
And the median progression-free survival was about 9 months. But the source makes a very crucial caveat here. It states explicitly that this is not a cure.
No, durable complete responses are not the defining story yet. It's about targeted tumor suppression.
Okay, I really have to push back on this, though.
Go ahead.
So if we are looking at just one-third of patients getting meaningful shrinkage and a median progression-free time of only 9 months,
Right.
and we are explicitly saying this isn't a cure, is this really the massive victory it sounds like? I mean, 9 months doesn't sound like a long time.
I understand why it sounds that way, but for patients who have already progressed through all other standard treatments dealing with advanced metastatic disease, halting a continuously, exactly, it jumps right over the break and reports a normal result. To find this specific mutation, patients absolutely must have comprehensive genomic profiling that specifically includes RNA fusion testing.
RNA, not just DNA.
Right. You have to look at the translated message the cell is producing, which is the RNA.
This reminds me of an analogy. It's like having a highly detailed treasure map, right?
Yeah.
But you're trying to read it while wearing the completely wrong prescription glasses.
Yes.
The treatment pathway is right there on the page. But without the RNA-specific lenses, it remains completely invisible to the doctor.
That is exactly what's happening. And the source actually has a powerful warning about this. They state, "The risk is not the treatment. The risk is missing the biology before the pathway can even be seen."
That gives me chills, especially because cholangiocarcinoma moves incredibly fast.
It does. This raises an important question about diagnostic protocols. Because if the NRG1 status isn't identified early, the window for this treatment closes completely. The patient gets too sick.
So the tragedy isn't just the rarity of the mutation.
No, it's the missed opportunities when the biology is never fully investigated because the right test wasn't ordered.
Man. And because the medical system can so easily miss these obscure tests, the burden of early understanding is increasingly falling on the shoulders of the patients themselves.
Which is creating an entirely new kind of patient advocacy.
Yeah, I want to highlight the ethos of the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation Australia and its founder, Steve Holmes. They have this really intense mission statement in the article.
It's very powerful.
Just writes, "We're not here to raise awareness. We're here to raise survival now, today." That defines patient-led.
It's a huge shift from traditional nonprofit messaging. Awareness doesn't buy you 9 months of progression-free survival. Knowing to demand an RNA test does.
But even if you know what tests to ask for, there is this massive geographical disparity.
The geography of access is brutal.
Right, because Bisongrush is FDA approved in the US,
Yes.
but currently it is not TGA approved in Australia.
No, it isn't.
And there are no known Australian trials recruiting for this specific fusion right now either, right?
Correct. The regulatory borders completely dictate your options.
So how do international patients even access it?
Well, they have to navigate compassionate access programs, special access schemes, or literally travel overseas for treatment.
That sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It is, which is why the source mentions the Patient Navigator Journal.
Oh, right, the app and AI system.
Yeah. It's a response system built entirely from lived experience. It helps patients know exactly what to do in the right order to navigate these bureaucratic mazes.
So the understanding doesn't come too late.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? Because honestly, isn't it incredibly overwhelming that a patient dealing with an advanced cancer diagnosis also has to basically become their own molecular biologist?
And an international drug lobbyist.
Right, just to stay alive. It seems so unfair.
It is overwhelming. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, this represents a massive shift in modern medicine.
How so?
We are moving into hyper-personalized precision medicine. The science is moving at lightning speed, but the diagnostic and regulatory systems are lagging behind.
So the patient has to bridge that gap.
Exactly. Knowledge is the ultimate lifeline right now. As Steve Holmes points out, understanding early keeps your options open.
Man, that is just, it's a lot to take in.
It really is.
So, to summarize this for you listening today, we have covered an incredible journey. We went from a microscopic fused gene that is constantly screaming, grow!
The jammed doorbell.
Right, the jammed doorbell. To a brilliant bispecific antibody designed to gag that signal and wedge those receptors apart.
Buying that vital time.
Yes. But we also uncovered the absolute necessity of demanding RNA fusion testing so you don't miss the target entirely.
And as targeted therapies become more hyperspecific and reliant on these niche genomic profiles like RNA testing, it leaves us with a really provocative thought.
What's that?
Are we entering an era where surviving cancer depends less on the luck of your biology and entirely on your personal health literacy and your ability to demand the right tests?
Wow.
Because if that's the case, what happens to the patients who just don't know what questions to ask?
That is a heavy thought to mull over.
Mm-hmm.
It really highlights how much the landscape is changing.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive today. We hope you found this as fascinating and eye-opening as we did.
It's an incredible breakthrough, despite the hurdles.
Definitely. So stay curious and remember to always advocate for yourself and your own biology. We'll catch you next time.